Grandpa Jim Motivation Central Station. It has been a long time, folks, since I've done a podcast. A lot has happened on the positive. I try to live my life, and I'm trying to encourage you to just be positive, kind, every living second. And I think you just manifest really cool, great stuff. It's like the, you know, answer to the universe, whatever you give out, right? Positive vibes, you're going to get positive things back. Yes. You know, things that happen to us sometimes, however we're processing it, you know, to one person may be a tragedy and to another might be the best thing ever to happen to them. So, you know, it's a lot of it's just how we process things. And do we see the glass half full or do we see it half empty? And I'm telling you, I see the glass always overflowing. I just, you know, try to stay busy and take action each day and work on my goals. And I've just kind of always been that person. So I'd like to share that with you folks. But this, you know, the new show here is not going to ever tackle politics again. However, I will tackle things that are unjust. I do not like bullies. I do not like corporate America roughing up America. There are certain things that I will always be a advocate for the little guy on the bottom. And so I will also always talk about the positive health thing for you. But I'm also going to start adding some stories about the grandkids. And I have some really cool things that have happened with my comedy. I run the Comedy College in Milwaukee and Chicago. And we will get to that in a little bit for sure. Well, let's jump in on that right now because, oh, it was the last year has been so unbelievably talking about the, you know, the glass flowing over. This year, one of my former students, Nate Bargatze, had given me a shout out on the Joe Rogan podcast. And when we met with Nate Bargatze, he came to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I had some of my children with me at that show. And then he also performed in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was able to be at that show. And he gave me a shout out to 19,365. And why do I know that number? Is because he set the record of the most people to ever be in the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. And it was kind of surreal to hear him shout my name out in that he felt, you know, I was a big reason that he was there that night. So that was really cool. When I started the Comedy College way back in 1999, it was never about me performing. Maybe it was in the beginning. I think that motivated me with big dreams and... But I also had a family, and everybody I was hanging out with in those days, the Frank Caliendos of the world, Tom Clark, these guys were still living at home with their parents, and I had children. So I always knew it was going to be running a marathon, and now that my kids are grown, I'm performing a lot more now, and just really have the time, you know, to really dedicate to comedy. This show will always have some humor in it. And then also we're going to get those stories about the grandchildren in here as well. But let me just finish up. So we meet Nate Bargatze, Tennessee Kid is his big one that's on Netflix, but he has a couple other specials. So if you have never seen Nate Bargatze, his stuff is real. Like, I work with comedians, aspiring comedians, on the weekly. I run a class in Milwaukee on Thursday nights and Chicago on Tuesday nights. And, you know, in comedy, comedians take a lot of liberty with their stories. I always You know, we always work with truth. I think the best comedy comes from truth. What's so truthful about Nate Bargatze is every time he's telling a story about, he has a famous bit about trying to order coffee at Starbucks with some ice and milk, and he has, you know, this one where, you know, the people showed up, him and his wife, he's not sure if he's always listening to her real well, and they showed up one morning to his home and they wanted the front doors of his house, and he's like, oh, I wonder if my wife told me this or not. And he lets him walk off with the doors. And then he said that when they were walking off, he's like, I hope I heard her right. And these guys are legit, because I think the front doors on the house are pretty important. So that stuff really happens to him. And he is as genuine of a human being as you can get. He's a loving father, just a great guy. His family's incredible. You have good parents. That's a good example right there of good parenting. And, before you become a grandparent, but his parents, you know, his father's in show business. His father's a magician and traveled, and they supported Nate from day one. And that's so critical. And I don't want to go, woe is me, but I grew up in an environment where my mother had abandoned the family when I was in the second grade. So what are you, 8, 9 years old, something like that in the second grade. And then I was raised by my father. And then we had a sibling pass away from childhood cancer at that time. And, you know, that was painful to watch somebody go through that. It was just very super traumatic to watch a young kid in the prime of his life and dealing with just some real harsh health problems that nobody should ever have to go through. And so coming from the side of the fence where I didn't have a lot of support, it's really a gift to get that kind of thing. But looking back, for me, on the other hand, the gift is I had to teach myself how to be self-motivated, how to lift myself up. And so I want to transfer that to you as well. Yes, the podcast is not going to be about politics anymore. I got a little caught up in the last election cycle. That's not happening again, because whatever it is, it is. You know, whoever gets in there, whatever, I wish them the best. I hope their intentions are right to just help us all succeed, thrive, and be positive as a community. I'm going to start adding some stories about my grandkids. And, the other side of the coin is I didn't have grandparents in my life. And so, you know, grandparenting for me is like this new thing as I move along and kind of learning how I go. And I was just telling a good friend, one of my commitments to my grandkids are, I have 9, I'm up to 9 grandkids now. The last time I was on this podcast, I think I had 6. So my family has been growing and has been flourishing. And quite the relevant topics for sure. One of my stories I'd like to share with you today is my first experience of being a grandfather. So my oldest son and his wife at the time, things happen, right? People move on. And for those two, I'd like to give them a shout out, because parenting, they are not in a physical relationship anymore. But they parents, they were always a prime example of being civil to each other and putting the kids first. And it's amazing. And my grandchildren,
my two granddaughters from that relationship are just very nice, positive kids, function very well because they, you know, had a surrounding, you know, and now they're extended families because both my son is in another relationship and my daughter-in-law, I still call her my daughter-in-law, she is in another relationship, and they're in very positive, healthy, you know, situations. So if you're not in one, you might want to take a step back and just say, you know, is this really right for me? Am I in this relationship for the right motives? Is this, you know, so, you know what's surprising too? This is just a offshoot thought right now. Do you know that when you take, you know, you have a marriage where here in the States where the gentleman, I suppose the lady can propose to the guy, right? So that's a marriage by choice. I guess we'll call it a marriage by choice. You know, those last about like 49% of the time. So it's not quite 50%. Do you know that arranged marriages and cultures where, you know, they fix the bride and groom up through tradition, through cultural, you know, familiarity, I guess. I can never say that word right. Like, succeed like 51% of the time. So, you know, some of that is me and my wife have been married for 43 years. And a lot of that was just hanging in there. A lot of times she was an orphan. So when we met, sorry about the UPS truck, but I am on my front porch like a grandfather. I am not in a rocking chair, which I gotta get one out here so I can really feel my grandpa role. You know, my wife and I just had a battle. Like, a lot of times she was an orphan, so by the time she was 7, her mother had passed from leukemia, and her dad had a massive heart attack. And so you talk about somebody that started with just trying circumstances. My wife is so positive and so giving, so selfless. I'm working on that on the hourly basis. You know, I come from recovery, and part of the disease of addiction and recovery are selfishness. Me, I, this, that. So I'm always working on that. At least today I'm aware of it. When I was in my disease of addiction and didn't go through recovery in that, you know, thank God for that. It's 12-step programs, you know, having good support systems, people that are going through the same thing as me. I'm always a big proponent of you trying to find somebody that, you know, is going through this same kind of walk of life with you and, you know, around recovery tables, they will say that, you know, our worst day, our worst actions can really be an asset and a value down the road. And, you know, she really prioritizes things too. So, so I want to share this, first time, being a grandfather. So we live very close to the hospital, literally city blocks away from the, hospital in our area here. And so I remember it was a snowy night because I'm in Wisconsin. And the winters are horrible, folks. You know, our summers are cooler, though. So I guess that's a trade-off. But it was snowing, and we made it over to the hospital. And when my daughter-in-law placed my granddaughter, who's soon, with, you know, like months away from being a full legal adult now, You know, there's just this magical connection between, it's unexplainable. Like, you know, you put your son, your daughter in your hands, you get that connection, but it happens again, and the love and the flow. And then I'm looking into her and saying, how can this brand new, wonderful being, you know, I see myself in her. Like, it was just crazy. And that kiddo, she was just a rock star, quiet person, not like her grandpa, always, you know, being out there in the public and speaking and things like that. But she's very reserved. She's an artist. And I raised four boys. So she was the first where I was able to go to see her in different singing things or baton twirling. And it was really a great lease on my life versus sporting events and, you know, fist fights. And so anyways, I just wanted to get back on here today, and I'm going to leave you with this. So the other day I was working in my gutter guard / gutter cleaning business. And in addition to the comedy college, I have this business. And every so often nowadays, I don't do as much labor, but we get shorthanded. So I'm out at this condo complex where we were doing a couple of things. And so one was, I was going to do there were these heating coils. They keep ice from, you know, coming over to the tops of the gutters by doorways, and the cords are black, and the soffit on the roof is white, and the buildings are gray. And we thought, you know, it'd be not much nicer to make these cords blend in with the property, and so we're painting them. And so, and it's a nice, easy job for me because I don't have to get on a real super tall ladder. So I'm like, fellas, I'll take this. And so I like to knock on these doors because these people are elderly and I don't want them to get startled. And plus, where this condo complex is situated, it's really beautiful. You can see like farms out their back door and a lot of open fields. There's no other community nearby. And so to have somebody just show up at your door on a weekday morning for an elderly person might be a little startling. So the woman comes to the door and she was not in the best of moods, right? So she says, I says, is it okay if I move these few items out of the way so I can get the cord? We're going to paint them and blend them. And she didn't even know, like, I don't know if the association's not communicating really well with her. So she was like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just be careful with the stuff and make sure you don't get any paint on anything. Now, I'm not a kid anymore, right? And one of the first jobs I ever had was, I've always been doing kind of entrepreneurial things, and was house painting. It was one of the first. A couple of guys from high school and I decided we were going to go out and paint some houses. It was good money. And, you know, so right now I'm back into the trades for, and it's a great place to be because there's such a shortage. So we do get work. You know, I always say you need work, get a ladder. People will call you and they need you. So anyway, she wasn't in the best of moods, right? So the old me would have been like, what a crabby lady, you know, oh my gosh, not, you know, and, you know, one of my goals in life is you do see the guy, older guy down the street with, you can just see the anger in them sometimes, the rage, and I really don't want to be that guy, you know, and I really just want to have a great, you know, happy demeanor from here till, you know, the day I'm done. you know, today through, you know, time and experience, she went back in the house and I didn't get upset, you know, and it moved into empathy. Well, number one, She most likely didn't know. She didn't know I was coming. Two, you know, nobody filled her in what was going on. She had a process that, oh, we're going to paint this cable. And in these condos, too, they don't really have a choice. That's what's weird about living in a condo. Like 51% of these condos out there need gutter protection and gutters, but the other 49% do not need them. And then you just have to have this stuff done. If the 51% needs this done, they just do them all. And so you really don't have any say in that. Me, myself, I wouldn't like a situation like that. But to each his own. And so then I'm like, oh, she had to process this cord getting, you know, painted. And then who knows what was happening behind the closed door with her that morning. You know, maybe she just got some really sad news that somebody had passed, or, you know, maybe she was just waking up. So empathy is cool. So when you have the clerk that's not in the best situation. Did you hear that car go by? I don't know. I'm going to have to listen to this. But been a lot of cars on this podcast going by. But anyways, my point is, when you run into that unhappy person today, you know, try to see, oh, maybe where they're coming from. And then a guy that used to do my show in Chicago periodically, he probably was in there a handful of times, was a guy named TJ Miller. TJ's been in a lot of films like the Deadpool, the movies. He's the funny guy behind a bar. And then he's been in like Oliver's Travel. I'm pretty sure he was the Mucinex voice for a long time. And so just a wonderful guy. But I remember seeing him either in a documentary about stand-up, I think that's where it came from, or just a Facebook post or something. But his thing was, us as comedians, every day when we're out and about, it's our job, not just when we're on stage, to try to lift people up and, you know, try to change their mood and give them that shot of dopamine that you get when you laugh. And so anyway, try to be empathetic for others today, and hope all is wonderful in your world. And you're going to see these podcasts more frequently. I'm hoping like maybe 2 or 3 times a week. My MO before was every day prior to my break. But I'm trying to keep balance in my life. I want to bring, you know, a freshness to it. And sometimes I think by producing them every day, I don't like things to become like a job, but I do want to motivate you. I want to lift you up. And we need a kind world. Who's with me? Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Grandpa Jim Roth, and you have a wonderful, awesome, fantastic day.